Did you guys just feel like playing again? Because I know Jane was telling me that you're going to do a couple of covers tonight, but you know, that you really haven't written a lot yet, and you're kind of thinking about a new album, but...
Kind of.
So do you just kind of sort of, every once in a while, say, you know, it's time to get out on stage and do this again?
I mean, I think we just always sort of have sort of winged it as we went along and had no... Especially now at this point in our careers, we all have different, you know, lives, and we all have careers. We all live in all over the world, and we've never had any concrete plans for anything, at least for the past 12 years, once we got off the hamster wheel, and we like working that way, and no pressure, just sort of having fun as we go along, and if we feel like being creative and you know, making another album, then, and it makes sense, then we'll do it.
It's nice. It's nice not to have to, isn't it? That you.
It's best. I love being at this place in my career and our career, that we're not on any sort of like I call it the hamster wheel. As you know, for years and years and years, since we were 17 through, for me up to age 38, 39, just, you know, have an album every 2 years, you tour every 2 years. You know, your life is planned out for you. And you know, I don't think I can do that anymore. I like to have fun and have my life and just do this when I feel like doing it, and that's how we work now.
Makes sense to me. When you put that original single out on Stiff, did you have any idea what was to come? Did you even looking? I mean, you now have a chance to look back on what 23 some odd years, which is a lot. I know in my life, I look back and I'm like, that's a lot of time to be a go-go, you know.
We had no expectations. I remember, I don't know if Jane mentioned that when that single came out as an import, and it was, I think, number 30 in the dance charts and Billboard or whatever. We came back to LA and to do our first show after coming back from the two-tone tours with Madness and the Specials, and we played the Starwood, and we looked out the door, and there were lines wrapped around the block, and
like,
that
what
is
this?
Yeah, and I think that single definitely did that for us, and also the fact that we just told everybody back home that we were big stars, which we weren't, but that single helped us out. I don't think we had that kind of expectations that it, you know, that it would take us on to this sort of success that we had.
Like, I know, but it's interesting because, again, looking back, I mean, I wonder what percentage of people really know you started out that way. You know, you had the single out on a British label with Nick Lowe and all of these groovy people. And what if they even recognize me? They will now that I'm, you know, making a big deal out of it. But, well, no, I think it's relevant.
No, it's absolutely relevant. I mean, a lot of people right off the Go-Go's, a lot of people who don't really know the Go-Go's and who don't really listen to Go-Go's albums and no lyrics, and a lot, you know, I mean, would normally write off the Go-Go's as being pop fluff, but if in actuality a lot of the albums, a lot of the songs in the albums are sort of deep and have a lot to say, and people don't realize that we weren't put together by some Svengali like a Simon Fuller or Kim Fowley or Phil Spector. We did it all ourselves, and it's important. I think that's one of the reasons why we released Return to the Valley of the Go-Go's, is to show that for those people who did buy it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people bought it, but...
I play it. I play it on the air.
It's you know, our story is a very important story, actually, in music.
Well, no, it's very relevant. It's actually a great segue. When I talked recently to Terry Nunn and Martha Davis, actually, it was interesting because I went to L.A. and I just decided it was going to be my 80s 24 hours, and I hung out with Terry and I hung out with Martha, and these were long interviews. I mean, it was really kind of delightful. My wife kind of turned to me and said, just remember, if you come back with one of those rock stars, remember you have a two-year-old daughter. And I just said, don't worry, honey, but hey, you know, it's fun. They both said that to have survived through the 80s was a remarkable accomplishment in itself, because the record companies were giving you all the drugs you wanted. You know, it was that the 80s were a time. No, everybody thinks it's that fluffy time, Valley Girl and all that shit, but it was an evil time. And they both spent a lot of time saying, you know, the fact that we made it out alive.
Oh, yeah.
And that we were fed all of this. Nobody knows that we were screwed behind the music. The real story is, you know. So, I mean, what do you think?
I have to agree with that. I mean, people made it easy for you to, I mean, they, you know, being an artist was, you know, equal being a flake, and that, you know, I'm myself, speaking for myself, I knew people expected me to be an artist and flaky and a drug addict, so I fed into that and said, okay, well, give me the drugs. And it was like a vicious circle where it was like a, you know, it was, the justification was that people thought that you were flaky and, you know.
Isn't so, amazing? You know. I know.
It was really a scary time, and, you know, just, oh. I mean,
and you're so glad you're out of it.
Yeah, I am. I'm glad I went through it, but I'm glad I'm out of it.
Who would you like to play with on your next album?
You know, the only other person that comes, the first person that ever comes to mind that I'd like to work with, and who I know, and I've worked with sort of distantly, but I love to work closely together, is Neil Finn.
Oh, yeah. I know. I play Crowded House heavily.
Yeah, I'm a big Neil Finn fan. I always
talk about pop that's got substance. You listen to the Subjects, Now We're Getting Somewhere, or you know, even though it's overplayed, Don't Dream It's, you know, all of their stuff is so deep.
And you know, I was a big Split Enz fan. I actually saw the Split Enz, and I love his solo albums too. So no, he's my favorite, I think.
So what are your great joys in life? I'm going to ask you two more things and have you do an idea and let you go. What are your great joys in life other than the Go-Go's these days? What just, when you wake up in the morning and you smile and you say, I can't wait to do this. What's?
Well, I live in France. I've been living there for 10 years, and every day waking up in that country is an exciting day.
You really are an international band these days, boy.
No. Jane lives in Costa Rica. I live in France.
Wow.
But I'm excited to wake up every day there because it's a really adventurous place to live, and I'm always learning. I'm very, very much into French history and the Cathars and the Crusades and learning about wine. I go to cooking school and cooking and just doing like things that I never ever had a chance to do, being on the hamster wheel.
That's great. Okay, I'm going to ask a silly question. Mm-hmm. Have you considered running? Now, you're an expat now, but did you consider running for governor of California?
No, I wouldn't.
Everybody else is.
I know. And I mean, me and Gary Coleman, maybe we'd make a good pair. It's interesting. I don't think it's a bad thing that Schwarzenegger's running. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know much about California politics, but
nor do I. Thank goodness.
But it seems like a bit of a circus out there.
It's insane.